It's such an important thing. Your attitude is more important than your past, more important than your schooling, more important than your accomplishments. It's more important than you'll ever, ever realize. Why? Because if I can't forgive, then the bacteria begins to affect me, affect my family, affect my future, affect this church. The best thing I can do for this church is keep forgiving.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled Better Together, where he'll teach us the importance of developing healthy relationships. You and I were not meant to go through life alone. We need each other. And contrary to what some of us think, the whole universe does not revolve around us. Here's Pastor Wayne with the message, Better Together.
Well, it's so good to have you. We're glad that you're here. Take out your Bibles with me. Be bringing your Bibles with you over the next few weeks as we journey through the book of Philippians, because we're just going to walk right through it. We're going to cover about the first 11 verses of chapter 2 today. So go home, find your Bible, dust it off, bring it with you, all right? But today we're going to start learning a Bible creed. And we're going to memorize this till we got it down. So be bringing it now. I want you to raise your Bible over your head. If you don't have one, just raise your hand like you're taking an oath. All right, here we go. All right. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. The Word of God. And I boldly declare. This is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. I am a citizen of heaven. Great job. Give yourselves a hand. Wow. We're going to talk today about the unity in our relationships, the importance of healthy relationships. Paul the Apostle is going to start the second chapter almost with the target in mind that this is the barometer of how we're doing. It's going to be found in healthy relationships. Now, he'll also answer, well, what happens when that relationship breaks and how do you rectify it? We're going to talk about those three things. Forgiveness is going to be a very important part of this as we talk about it today. In your Bibles, chapter 2, and it's also at the top of your notes if you want to take your notes out, I've listed that verse there, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to read it. Now, Paul the Apostle is going to give four rhetorical questions to which all of them should be answered yes. So what he's doing is he's setting up something saying, well, if this is yes, this is yes too. It's like when I was young, I used to say to my mom, Ma, I like to go movies, eh? And she'd say, no, you're not going anywhere. Ma, I like a movie. No, you're not going anywhere. Ma, I like a movie. Can you fly to the moon? Can you live on the sun? No, that's my answer. So here he will give some rhetorical questions, and you'll see four of them, and they all are answered yes. So then he goes into his premise. Let's read it. Go. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. He's saying, my greatest joy is that you will be of the same mind, maintain the same love, be united in spirit and intent on one purpose. That is so crucial and critical, and that's a barometer of how we are doing. But what do you do when it breaks? How do you rectify it? We're about to find out. Some years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant and somebody scooted on the other side of the table from me. And I didn't know who this person was. And he said, you're Wayne Cordero. I said, yes. He said, do you have a book coming out? Do you have a magazine? Do you have any other resources coming out? And I said, whoa, for what? He said, for my church. I said, oh, how's it doing? Not good. Bad, bad, bad. So I said, oh, sorry. So he said, wait, do you have anything? I said, well, hold on. How long have you been pastoring? 6 months. So how's that going? Bad, bad, not good, bad. I said, whoa, just 6 months. What were you before? He said, youth pastor at the same church. I said, oh, so they kind of made you pastor? Yeah. How'd that go? Bad, bad, not good. So I said, well, tell me about it. So I was sitting there in the front row one morning, youth pastor. The pastor came up, said, could I have the board member stand? The board member stood and he said, these are the reasons why I'm leaving this church. And he left. I said, no way. He said, yes way. I was in the front row. I said, no. So you became pastor. He said, that's how I became the pastor. I said, that's not good. Bad. He said, bad. Not good. Not good. So I said, man, it took place. He said, yep, happened that morning. I said, oh, no, it didn't happen that morning. He said, oh, yes, it happened that morning. I was there. I said, no, it didn't happen that morning. He said, I was there. It happened that morning. I said, no, it surfaced that morning. It actually happened a year or two before when your church began to tolerate broken relationships. When you began to tolerate underlying bitterness, unresolved hurts, unrectified problems. And you let it go because it's not what a church does that destroys it. It's what a church tolerates. He said, well, what do I do? I said, you know, probably because it's so dangerous. I mean, it's like the body. If your body is basically healthy, then if a flu or a virus comes along or a cold, you might get some sniffles, but it's not going to knock you down for a long time. You'll recover. I said, however, if that same body is filled with bitterness and strife and anger and worry and anxiety and discouragement, when that little sniffle comes, it'll turn into a full-blown flu, and it'll take you a long time to get over it because your body wasn't designed to function well with unresolved conflicts and hatred and bitterness and strife on the inside. I said, it's not only true for a personal body, it's true for the body of Christ. So I said, now you're going to have all kinds of sicknesses coming. You're susceptible. He says, well, what do I do? Give me another book. I said, no, it's not going to be another book. What do I do? He said, you know, I'd suggest you just kind of hold off having church until you rectify those things. He said, who do you think you are telling us to not have church? I said, oh, did I say I said that? Oh, sorry. Jesus said that. He said, where? He said, Matthew chapter 5. When you gather before the Lord and there remember that a brother has an offense against you, leave your gift at the altar, go make it right, and then come back and have church. In other words, what God is saying is having good and healthy relationships is a lot more important than just attending a church service. Because you can come in with a bitterness and go out with the same bitterness, can't you? You can come in with an unresolved hatred and go out with that same unresolved hatred. So it's so important for us to understand the importance of healthy relationships. And what do you do when it breaks down and how do you rectify it? It's a word for every single one of us today. But like I said, with the body, if there's stress involved, you become very susceptible to the bacteria that's already present in people's hands or what you eat. Your body's immune system is so broken that you get sick. We're going to find out about that in a little video, a little 3-minute video that we're going to rewind it back to 1960s and the 50s when they thought they found the reason for absenteeism in personnel or in the workplace. It was something called stress. But watch, because towards the end, there's a little twist that I think we can apply as the scientists and researchers found the clue as to what causes the stress and the ulcers in people's lives. Let's take a look.
This is a picture of a major American personnel problem. An ugly sore that doctors call a peptic ulcer, eating away at the wall of a man's stomach.
Those stomach pains that you talk about, the gnawing, the burning, Those are obvious symptoms of gastric ulcer.
30 years ago, what's the disease that comes to everybody's mind when you mention stress? It's ulcers. Stress and ulcers. And this was the first stress-related disease discovered, in fact, 70 years ago.
What I want you to do is to work on your attitude.
My attitude?
That's right. Ulcers breed on the wrong kind of feelings. You've got to be honest with yourself about the way you feel about things.
Finding a new doctor sounds like a better answer to me.
The connection between stress and ulcers was mainstream medical gospel until the early 1980s. Then, Australian researchers identified a bacteria as the major cause of ulcers.
And this overthrew the entire field. This was, it's got nothing to do with stress. It's a bacterial disorder. And I'm willing to bet half the gastroenterologists on Earth, when they heard about this, went out and celebrated that night. This was like the greatest news. Never again were they going to have to sit down their patients and make eye contact and ask them, how's it going? So anything stressful, it's got nothing to do with stress. It's a bacterial disorder.
So no longer would the solution be stress management. Now it could be something as simple as a pill. It was a major breakthrough. Stress didn't cause ulcers. Case closed. But a few years later, the research took a new twist. Scientists discovered that this ulcer-causing bacteria wasn't unique. In fact, as much as two-thirds of the world's population has it. So why do only a fraction of these people develop ulcers? Research revealed that when stressed, the body begins shutting down all non-essential systems, including the immune system. And it became clear that if you shut down the immune system, stomach bacteria can run amok.
Because what the stress does is wipe out the ability of your body to begin to repair your stomach walls when they start rotting away from this bacteria.
So stress can cause ulcers by disrupting our body's ability to heal itself. If stress can undermine the immune system, what other havoc can it wreak?
So you see what this video is saying, that when you have the presence of stress in your life, it makes us vulnerable to the bacteria that's present in our midst. Otherwise, what would take place is that this bacteria, if we have stress in our lives, that bacteria is going to come in and mess us up. So that's why Paul the Apostle says, listen, you've got to make sure that there is unity in the body of Christ. So what is he saying? Here's what Paul is saying. This is so important that you have unity, that everyone be of the same heart, same soul. That you think about it, that's why one of the greatest gifts Jesus gave to us was on the cross. And that is called the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness is so essential. Without it, we cannot have healthy relationships. Won't be able to. God gives us that gift. And one of the things you'll need to understand before we go any further is that gift is going to be a gift that keeps you free from the bacteria of sin that's floating all around. Because we all have flesh, we all have setbacks, we all get angry here or there. But unless we understand forgiveness, you won't understand God's plan for your family, your future, and this church. So the first thing is we have to understand is, and as we walk through this now, I'm going to unpack it for you. The first thing is this. Would you write down in your notes, number one is, you have to remember that it is not about you. Sometimes we think God exists for my comfort. God exists for my convenience. So that if I need him to get rid of that guy or get rid of that, then he needs to do that because it's all about me. It's not all about you. No, it is about what God wants to do in and through you, but it's not about you. I remember once I learned this lesson. I was at this really ritzy party, and I felt like a duck out of water. All these guys were in this high-class tuxes and $3,000 suits, and the women were in these gowns. And I'm a boy from Palolo Valley, and so I'm looking. You know how when you go to these parties, you're looking for somebody you know so you can talk to somebody? And I saw the host, and he was a debonair man with this real expensive suit. And I thought, man, I've seen him somewhere before. And he looks over at me, and he waves. I thought, oh. I'm somebody. Hey, how's it? I don't know who you are yet, but I'm going to figure it out. And then he did some stuff, and he looked, and he waves again. I said, oh, two times. How's it? And then he starts walking towards me. I thought, oh, he knows me. I'm somebody. And as he approaches me, he walks right by me. It was a guy in back of me that he was waving to. Have you ever been humbled by God? Like, oh, sorry, that wasn't about me. And that's exactly what God said. He said, Wayne, it's not about you. This party's not about you. And what I'm doing in the world ain't about you. It's about you being a part of how I'm working. And you can either cooperate with me or get in the way. And I'm going to speak to you about a key that helps us to cooperate with what God is doing, even in the tough times. Let's read the scripture here, the one just following number one. Would you read it with me? And it's up on the board as well. Read it with me. Go. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Back it up a little bit. And you notice it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of what? Underline that. Humility begins in the way you think. Humility of what again? Did you know that that's an attitude? Your attitude is how you think about things, how you perceive things. You see, that's going to be the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Your most important decision is your decision to follow Christ. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Do you agree? Yeah, that's your most important decision. The second most important decision, if the first is your decision to follow Christ, your second most important decision will be your decision about the attitude with which you will follow Jesus Christ. The first is that you follow Christ. That affects your eternity. The second, the attitude with which you follow Jesus Christ will affect how many people you influence that want to go with you to eternity. Because you see, I know some people that have decided to follow Christ, but they got stinky attitudes. They're so bad. I know they're going to get to heaven, but it's almost like when they die and they get to the pearly gates, Peter's going to look over and say, oh no, guess who just arrived? Now, the reason this is so important is because humility starts with your attitude. And in order for you to issue forgiveness, in order to repair broken relationships, because it always starts with forgiveness, not who's right or who's wrong. That's why we have so many attorneys in America, because we think the way to rectify everything is to find out who's right and who's wrong, who's righter and who's wronger, and make them pay for it. Has that made us any better of a nation? No, it's not working. Because you see, the rectification of broken relationships isn't to find out who's wronger. To rectify it is to understand how to issue forgiveness. And you cannot issue forgiveness without humility. When there's a pride or it's all about me, you cannot give forgiveness because he's wrong. He doesn't deserve forgiveness. Why should I give forgiveness? It's like the Lord says, you've got to work on the humility of mind. Otherwise, you can't access one of the greatest gifts that's given on the cross called forgiveness. Yeah, but he doesn't deserve it. Here's one thing the Lord said. It's not about whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is a gift to you to keep you free from the bacteria of sin that wants to prolifically multiply in your life if you don't forgive. It's a gift to keep you free from that. It's really not for them. Yeah, because that guy's a terrible, bad person. He's evil. The Lord probably would say, I know he's bad and he's evil. But forgiveness isn't for them. It's for you because of what I want to do in your life. And if you don't forgive, that will encroach on your life. It will multiply that bacteria. And what I wanted to bring into redemption and make and convert into life, I can't now because you are stricken with bitterness. Remember, when you are stricken with bitterness, I heard someone say it this way. It's like seeing someone that you're bitter at and drinking poison and waiting for that person to die. See, bitterness is what destroys us. And it starts with humility of mind to say, whoa, wait a minute. I got to see this into a better state than it is. Otherwise, blame and I'm done with it. No. In fact, God spoke to me when I was struggling in this area and he said, you got to work hard on your attitude. Write that down. Work hard on your attitude. Oh, it's not easy because sometimes you're going to get built or betrayed. You're going to get bullied. And it's going to take you a while to work through it to the point where you say, I need to let this go. It could take a week or two. It could take a year or two. It could take a lifetime. It's up to you. You see, Jesus promised that he would heal. You decide how long that's going to take. Jesus has decided that he will be the healer. You decide how long it will take. Want it to take a year? What about two? What about a lifetime? And if I cannot issue forgiveness because I don't think they deserve it, that's a wrong use of the gift because it doesn't depend on whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is something to keep you free from that so God can convert whatever happened to you into life. Without that, he can't start the healing. Remember, he said he would heal. You decide when it starts and how long it's going to take. And a lot of that has to do with the way I perceive things. And that's why God said to me, you've got to work hard on your attitude. Let's read what it says in the very next verse in Philippians 2:6. Go. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. Let me read it this way. Have the same attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he knew he was right, he didn't regard that something to be held on to. But he laid it down. And that's called forgiveness in order that healing take place. It's such an important thing. Your attitude is more important than your past. More important than your schooling. More important than your accomplishments. It's more important than you'll ever, ever realize. We've got to work hard on that to see things into a better state. Why? Because if I can't forgive, then the bacteria begins to affect me, affect my family, affect my future, affect this church. The best thing I can do for this church is keep forgiving. Just forgive. How many of us know sometimes you got to forgive someone 150 times until you're free from that? Corrie ten Boom, the ten Boom family was a Dutch family that helped Jewish people escape from the Nazi regime. They were caught and summarily thrown into the same concentration camp that the Jews were going to. Corrie ten Boom had a younger sister, prettier than she, hence the German soldiers abused her day after day after day until her life began to ebb away. She was weak and she was hurting so badly. Towards the end of her life, her sister was laying in the bed and hardly had any breath left in her. They both came from a Christian family, but Corrie ten Boom hated those German soldiers. She said, I hope they rot in hell for what they've done to you, she said. Her sister, and her sister who loved God said, Corrie, you must forgive them. Forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. I won't ever forgive them. Look at what they've done to you. She said, no, forgive them, Corey. She said, well, maybe one day if they grovel in the dust and come crawling to me on their knees, I might consider forgiving them. And her sister said something really profound. She said, Corey, you must be free long before that time.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Better Together. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.